really challenging me to think about this idea. Obviously, it's talking about Peter and how Peter walked on water, but he was the only one because he was the only one willing to step out and go to Jesus. And I believe God's placed things in each one of you. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you're doing in this moment. God has placed something within you. And you will never know what that is until you're willing to step out of your comfort zone. You're willing to step out of the boat. And one of the things I've been really struggling with and trying to ask myself is it's very easy to get comfortable and happy in what I'm doing because I couldn't think of a better place to be than standing right here sharing this with you. I absolutely love what I get to do. I feel like it's where God has placed me. But I don't want to get comfortable to the point where I just do this every week and it's like, thank you, God, here I am again, and thank you for what you've done. And it's not like I'm looking to move to another position. It's in this position, God, I want to do everything you have called me to do. And that may be me willing to step out of the boat. Each one of us have something inside of us that God is stirring. And he's challenging you to be willing. I like one of the lines out of this book says, consider the incredible potential that awaits you outside your comfort zone. Out on the risky waters of faith, Jesus is waiting to change you forever to deepen your trust in God. And I believe that people have a hunger to move from just this series of beliefs in your mind into an experience with God that as you put your faith and trust in him, and as you're willing to step out of the boat, you find a whole new relationship with God that you've never had before. I wonder how much Peter's life changed after he stepped out of the boat. Think about this. He's the only man that can say, I did what Jesus did. He and I are the only two that ever walked on water. And is there something in your life that you can say, you know what? Jesus and I are the only two that have ever done this. I was willing to step out and do what he called me to do. And we have that experience to share together. So I'm praying, this whole week I've been praying that God would begin to challenge you to experience him in a different way than you ever have before, just from your willingness to step out of the boat. So often in our Western world, when we talk about Christianity, people talk about a personal relationship with Christ. And that's a good thing. We all should have that personal relationship. But I believe as we look at Scripture, you can make an argument that not only should we have a personal relationship with Jesus, but more importantly, we should have a shared relationship with Jesus, a corporate relationship with Jesus. As we come in this place together, as we pray, as we worship God, that we do it together. And together, the power of God becomes more and more evident. I hope you pray alone. You can change the heart of God when you pray. But I believe there is a difference when we all are together praying in one mind, asking God for big things. So really what I'm looking for today are some big thinkers, some risk takers in this place willing to say, I'll step out of the boat. And as I start this message, I want to lay out a foundation for you by looking at two different stories about Jesus. And these two different stories of Jesus, it's interesting that he was amazed for two different reasons. And actually, not only was he amazed for two reasons, two totally different ends of the spectrum, Jesus was amazed. Now, we're talking about Jesus, so I would think it took a lot to amaze him. But look at these two stories of how Jesus was amazed. The first is when Jesus was in his own hometown. He was teaching, and some people were offended at what he was saying. They were thinking, who do you think you are? You're just the son of a carpenter. You shouldn't be saying these kinds of things. And if you look in Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, and you don't have to turn there because I'm going to throw it right here for you. Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Jesus could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. Now, before I read verse 6, this is not to suggest that his power was somehow diminished because of their unbelief. It it may suggest that because of their unbelief, people were not coming to him for things other than a few sick people. So really, that's all the miracles he was able to do there. But look at verse 6. And he, meaning Jesus, was amazed at their lack of faith. He was amazed at their lack of faith. He was blown away. He is who he said he is. He could do the things he said he could do, but they didn't believe. Those who were closest to him, who saw him grow up, did not believe it. Now, the second story that we're going to look at is Luke's gospel. There was a centurion, which was a Roman army officer. Now, these guys were hated by the Jewish people because of the cruel things the centurions were known to do. But this centurion had a sick servant who was dying, and he sent someone to go get Jesus. And so Jesus met up with the centurion, and the centurion simply said this. He said, "You don't need to go to my house to pray for my servant. At your word, I believe my servant will be healed." The centurion, the one who was not really connected to Jesus, is the one who believed at his word, his servant could be healed. Luke chapter 7, verse 9 said, when Jesus heard this, he was what? He was what? Amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following, he said, "I tell you the truth, I've not found such great faith, even in Israel." Two different times, Jesus was amazed. He was amazed at the lack of faith, and he was amazed at the amazing faith that the centurion had. What's interesting to me is those closest to him were the ones with the lack of faith. And I wonder sometimes, because we come here every week and we get an idea of who Jesus is in our minds, do we limit our idea of who Jesus is after so much time just spending time here, hearing about him week after week? Do we not get comfortable in the idea of who Jesus is because we're so close? Would he be amazed at your bold faith, your amazing faith, or would he be amazed at your lack of faith? If Jesus were to look at your faith level, those things you're attempting for his glory, those things you're believing that he will do, would he be amazed at how big you're thinking in your mind? I want you to do me a favor. We're just going to play a little game here. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to ask yourself, this is a question we should all wrestle with. If I were to rank my faith scale on a 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, where would it be? Now, to be fair, with your eyes closed, sitting there thinking about this, I want to make you think about a few things. As you're asking yourself, where is my faith level from 1 to 10? Did you attempt anything? Just think in this past week, from last Sunday to today, did you attempt anything so bold and so daring that without God it would be impossible? Ask yourself that question. Think about your prayer life for a moment for the last week, from last Sunday to today. What did you pray for? Imagine if in this moment, God said yes to everything you prayed from last Sunday to today. Think about this. If God said yes to everything you prayed this last week, would the world look any different today? Now I've got to think in my heart, that some of you, you're an 8, 9, 10, man, you've got the faith to see cancer healed, the faith to see children adopted into families, the faith to see relationships restored, and all of these things that you've been praying all week would be the things that God would answer. But some of you, maybe you would look back over the last week and you would say, yeah, my food was blessed as I prayed for my meal. Yeah, we had safe travels to Grandma's house because anytime we get in the car and travel, we pray for safe travels. There's nothing wrong with praying for those things. But did your prayers go beyond that? And then I got to think some people might look back and go, you know, I don't know that I prayed anything. Now, I don't want you to fall asleep so you can open your eyes again. The question today is, would God be amazed with your faith? Only you can answer that. Only you know where the number lies in how strong your faith is. So in order to inspire us for bold faith today, I want us to do this. We're going to look at three faith-filled facts that will help build your faith. And these are on the back of your bulletin. If you have one, you can look at that. If you want to take notes, you can write these down. But they're right there for you on the back of the bulletin. The first thing I want you to understand is you cannot play it safe and please God. You cannot play it safe and please God. Hebrews 11:6, it's right there in front of you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everybody say this with me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, if you can do everything in your power and you never need the power of God, then you're living without faith. The challenge is people kind of almost glorify faith. They think, well, if I'm going to say I have the faith, then I have to have a faith face on all the time. I have to be happy all the time. I never have problems. Everything goes great. I don't have bad days. You know, everything just rolls like it should because I have faith. But the truth is, if we think about it, faith can be messy. Faith is not always constant and it's not always clean. It can be a little messy. There may be moments when you have great faith and then the next moment you may be overwhelmed with doubt. I think we all have been there. Sometimes we feel like God spoke to us and we know it. And there's other times where we're questioning, God, is that you or is that what I had for lunch? We just don't know. We just have this feeling inside of us. And one of the greatest examples of this is Peter. The guy I talked about earlier. The disciple who was willing to step out of the boat. He looked at the wind and the waves. And he said, I don't care. Jesus is there and I want to be where Jesus is. So I'm going to step out. Did he sink? Yeah. Some would call that a failure. Some would knock him for being willing to get out, but then sinking. But you know what? He's the only disciple that ever got out of the boat. At least he failed trying. Amen? At least he was willing to get out of the boat. So often our fear of failure keeps us from taking a step of faith. Now, I don't want that to breeze by you. So often our fear of failure keeps us from taking a step of faith. People often think that failing means you're missing God. And can I be honest with you? What I've discovered is failing is often the first step to discovering God. Failing is the first step to going, you know what? Man, I've got to keep my eyes more focused on Him. It's discovering what I did that caused me to fail. Never let fear stop you from taking a step of faith. What's going to happen when we get out of the boat? Don't know. But we will not know until we step out in order to find out. I don't know who this is speaking to today. Some of you, man, you're playing it safe and you cannot play it safe and please God. I will even argue if you're not failing every now and then, you're probably playing it way too safe because we should be failing. That means we're trying. That means we're stepping it out and we're saying, God, if this is you, I'm going to tackle it. I'm going to do it. And you will be faithful, and He will. So the first thing is simply, you cannot play it safe and please God. Number two, as long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith. As long as you have a guarantee. Hebrews 11:1, I want to read this out of the New Living Translation. So I want you to see this. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for. It doesn't say that what we're guaranteed. Faith is the confidence in what we can promise and say is going to happen. No. Faith is confidence. Think about confidence. That means we have no doubt. We believe it's going to happen. I'm confident it's going to happen, but it's something I'm hoping for. Confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us an assurance of things we cannot see. The problem for many of us is we just want the guarantee. I got to know. God, if you'll just show me first, then I'll go. If you'll just tell me it's going to work, then I'll step out. Now, how many remember late grade school, early middle school, and recognizing the opposite sex? Guys, you were recognizing girls for the first time. They weren't gross anymore. Girls are kind of going, well, he's kind of cute. And, you know, they start talking about each other. And you remember the little notes you would write, or you would talk to your friends. And, George Strait wrote a song about it, so everybody knows what I'm talking about. Check yes or no. Do you love me or do you not? Do you want to be my friend? But what we would do, we'd either write the note, or we'd get our best friend to go over and we'd say, find out if she likes me, because if she likes me, I like her. But if she doesn't like me, I don't like her. And we had to know before we would go ask them out, which always is crazy because where are they going? They're in middle school and grade school that they would go with. I'm going with so-and-so. Where are you going? You're going to school. That's it. But the worst answer you could get, if you sent your friend over to ask her if she liked you, if he came back and said, she said, maybe. That's the worst. You don't know if that's yes or no. You can't even move on because now she might like you. So you don't even want to move on to the next girl. You want to wait and find out for sure. The worst thing you can have is a maybe because it leaves you hanging, you know? But the reality is when we're dealing with God, sometimes the box might just be maybe. It's until we take the step of faith. God, I think you're calling me to do this, but I'm not sure. Is it you? How do I know? Here's the thing I want you to understand. You can have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. You can have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. Anybody think about this? When you come home from work, had a long day, what's the one chair that you want to sit in? It's the number one selling chair in America. Anybody tell me what it is? Who said that? Lazy Boy. Thank you, Joanne. Lazy Boy. Not Empowered Boy or Adventure Boy or Step Out in the Water Boy. It's Lazy Boy. What's the one thing you want in your hand when you're sitting in your Lazy Boy? Remote what? Remote what? Remote control. The one thing you want when you're in your Lazy Boy is control. That's where you're comfortable. I know what's going to happen. I can ask so-and-so for a drink, or I can get up and get something out of the fridge. I can sit in my Lazy Boy. I have control, and I'm comfortable. Think about it. Maybe you're here, and God's been urging you to start a business. Maybe he's been urging you to start a life group. Maybe he's been urging you to speak to your neighbor who doesn't know Jesus. And you've been feeling that urge. You just haven't been willing to step out of your comfort zone and believe that, God, if I step out, you're going to be there. I have faith that you will help me get through this. You can't have control and have faith. It's one or the other. Number three, to step towards your destiny, you have to step away from your security. To step towards your destiny, you have to step away from security. It's what's going to happen, I don't know. How's it going to end up, I don't know. But that's why they call it faith. You have to believe that it's going to happen. Here's the only, I know some of you have heard this. Actually, a lot of you witnessed it over the last 2 years. But the very best example that I can give you of this, and if you've heard this story, I'm sorry, but I still live this today. Every single day when I get up, I'm blown away at what I get to do. And this moment right now happened because of 2 years ago, I was willing to step out of the boat. For those of you who don't know, I've been worship leader here for 8 years. 2 years ago would have been 6 years. Courtney was the children's pastor. I'm the worship pastor. It came time for kids camp. And Courtney, being the children's pastor, is taking the kids to kids camp. So I went as a counselor. And I remember receiving a call that day that the district youth director of the Northern Missouri District was going to be resigned. And as I got to the campgrounds, I stepped out on the campgrounds, and I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt, I believe the Lord spoke to me, and He said, "You're going to leave this camp." I'm 6 years here. My family's happy. I love my church. I think you ought to know by now that I love you, and I love being with you. And I enjoyed what I was doing. I loved leading worship. It was what God had, I believe, called me to do. But all of a sudden, I have this urge that I'm going to lead a camp, and I'm going to lead the youth ministry for the Northern Missouri District. It didn't add up. It didn't make sense. Their office is in Columbia. Do I really want to move my children and uproot my family for all of this? But I believe the Lord spoke to me. And I was willing to do what He asked me to do. If you don't know, obviously I took that position. I accepted that, not knowing what was going to happen. What was amazing about that is God knew what was going to happen. We were able to stay here and do both. I continued to lead worship, but I also then began the job with the Northern Missouri District. And because of that, this position became what it is today. And I have to know, I don't even doubt the fact that if I had not been willing to step out then, how in the world would I ever think that's going to bring me here when I'm looking at leaving? Yet here I am. And I had to step towards my destiny and step away from security. Everything that I knew, every single day of that job was another step of faith. It was things I hadn't done before. It was things that were new to me that I wasn't comfortable with, but I was growing along the way. And I can tell you, I've never been happier than where I'm at right now. And it took the willingness to step out. This is exactly what Abraham did in one of the crazy faith-filled stories in the Old Testament. It's actually reflected in the New Testament in Hebrews 11, where I'm pulling all these scriptures from. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place where he would later receive his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. The hard part for us is we want to know step 3, 4, and 5. But sometimes we have to take step 1 and 2 before 3, 4, and 5 ever show up. And what we find ourselves doing is instead of walking by sight, we're walking by faith. You have to keep your eyes focused on the author and perfecter of your faith. You're looking at Him, not at where your next step will be. He's leading you. He's guiding you. And I believe with all my heart, God not only wants to do something great in you, I believe He wants to do something great in this church, in this community, in this town. And it all happens by those of you willing to say, you know what? I do have something on my heart. God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out and I'm going to do what You've called me to do. Even though you don't know where it's leading. We're getting out of time. If you're being baptized today, you can be dismissed to go change. And we'll have you come back in as soon as you're changed, because I'm going to wrap this up pretty quickly. Would our God be amazed at our faith? Or would He be amazed at our lack of faith? You have access to the God that anything you ask in His name can and will be done. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in your heart. And you can do anything He's called you to do. How will this play out in your life? I cannot tell you. But I do believe that it will play out individually and it will play out corporately with all of us. And we will all be affected by you being willing to step out of the boat. Maybe it's to begin tithing. And you're going to step out and say, God, I hear what You're telling me. I've been hearing this for a long time. I've thought about it. I've made excuses. And suddenly, all of a sudden, you're just like, you know what? It's time for me to step out and do what God's called me to do, and He will be faithful. Once again, there's ministries that this church is needing. I believe some of you in this room are having a hard time connecting. It's as simple as picking up the phone and being willing to step out in faith and invite someone to lunch. Invite someone to dinner. that may be all it takes for you to begin a connection like you've never seen. A connection to the people that you spend every week with, but that you feel like you hardly know. You have to be willing to step out. What if I get hurt, Chad? What if they don't receive me the way I expect? Then step out to someone else. Because there are people in this room that love you and that want a relationship with you and want to connect with you and want to think big things with you and see this church continue to grow. As long as there are empty seats in this church, it's not big enough. Can I be honest with you? I'm going to always be sad until we see every spot filled. I don't care if we have to do two or three services. That's all right. That's great. But until we have the seats filled, I love you. I'm glad you're here. But how many want more here? Why? How many want more here? Because it's not about us. It's about us reaching out to others. And until we're willing to step out of the boat, other people may not even make it in here. It's up to us to be willing to do so. Man, there's something burning inside of me that I just wish I could express. God did not give us a small commission. What did He give us? The Great Commission. That means every soul in this world needs to know Christ, and it's up to you and I. But it comes through faith. Are you believing for the lost family member to be saved? Are you believing God can heal you this morning? Are you believing God can restore relationships? Is your faith amazing God? That's my question. Will you stand to your feet? Because I believe this can affect all of us. And I believe this church can be changed when we begin to step out. I want us to gather, take the hand of the person. When I say next to you, I mean connecting rows, whatever you have to do. We're going to close in prayer this morning. And I want you to take the hand of the person next to you, around you, wherever you're at. And as I pray, I'm asking you to pray, to check your heart and say, God, whatever you're calling me to do, I say yes. Whatever you're asking of me, I say yes in this moment. So Heavenly Father, here we are, gathered in this place today. And Lord, without the faith that we have in you, we cannot please you. And I ask that every one of us would be challenged today to check our hearts, to ask ourselves, what is it God is calling me to do? What are the abilities that I have that can be used for His kingdom? Help me, Lord, to say yes. Help me to be willing to step out of my comfort zone and to step into my destiny. What you've called me to do, may I say yes. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 You can be seated. We're going to close out with a baptism today. As they're making their way in, Jeff Meyer, our first baptism person, he was willing to come in this week, and we recorded a video of him giving his testimony. I want to play that for you and let you see that before we begin baptizing. So, David, you can go ahead and roll that. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I am Jeff Meyer. Pastor Chad has given me an opportunity to tell a little bit about myself. I hope that what I have to say relates to someone here and provides a better understanding of who I am and the journey that has brought me to this point. I recently learned from a group counseling class that timelines are important, and I believe providing mine will better help you understand me. I was baptized at birth, followed by confirmation at a very young age. During my childhood, I prayed earnestly for God to change many unpleasant situations in my life. From the result of many desperate, seemingly unanswered prayers, I come to a point of no faith and understanding of God's love. By 13, I felt I was solely responsible for myself. I become defiant to authority, indulged in many risky behaviors, and become very self-centered. I've been moody, and I've carried a lot of baggage. This moodiness and standoffishness created a feeling of control in my life and enabled me to keep people at bay. Feelings of being unworthy of the good things in life, as well as guilt and shame, crept in. My feelings of self-loathing and hatred led to very self-destructive actions. I've been a lost soul to the darker things of life. I've indulged in sin and have been led by it. Staying alive become a concern as if I would or would not. I was invited to church here at Cornerstone, and for a year I rolled into church, got to feel good, then went out the church door living exactly as I wanted to live. February of this year is when the real struggle began. I learned of the idea of picking up my cross to follow Christ and dying to my selfish desires and wants. I felt the confliction of wanting to do things my way as opposed to submission to the Holy Spirit. I acted rude and unloving to people who only showed love and care for me. For that, I am regretful. A few months ago, I realized I needed to be baptized as my first act of submission. It was taken weeks to get to that point. I've decided to become obedient to the Holy Spirit's call for me. I'm deciding to end my selfish ways and die to myself, surrendering to the Holy Spirit. I'm choosing to be reborn and lead a Christ-centered life. Today, I am alive, but broken. Today, I die to myself and my desires. I choose to receive the love of Jesus. I seek peace and joy. I love the people here at Cornerstone, and more importantly, I feel the love and acceptance from the people of Cornerstone. I consider the members of Cornerstone my new family.
Isn't that awesome? Come on up. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? I get to hang out with Jeff quite a bit throughout the week, and everything he said is totally true. I've been able to watch him take those steps of faith that we talked about earlier and continue to grow every single day. And I'm just so thankful that you're willing to do this. So if you want to put your hand over your nose, and I'm going to say this together. It's by your profession of faith in Jesus Christ that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Next, we have Sydney Evans. Let's give her a hand as she comes. Just about a month or so ago, Sydney came up to me after church one day, and I could see it all over her face that God was just moving on her at that moment, and she said, "I really want to be baptized." So I asked her this week if she wanted to say something. Would you like to say something? Okay. There you go.
Growing up, I never really understood or knew the Word of God. And when I first started coming to Cornerstone, I didn't know what to expect. I had never connected with a church before. But this church is what made my faith grow. And my family. You guys are my family, and I love you. And I am just so thankful to have all of you, because you are what makes my faith grow every day. Thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you. Put your hand over your nose. Sydney, it's because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ that I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Careful. Next, we have Sierra Harper. Just a few months ago, we were getting ready for a service, and I looked out, and there was this family that took an entire row in our sanctuary, and I turned around to Jeremy, and I said, "I think we just doubled in attendance." And Sierra is part of the Harper family that's been with us for a few months, and it's so great to have them. Is there anything you'd like to say, Sierra? No? Well, we're so thankful that you have accepted Jesus into your heart, and you want to make that public today. So it's by your profession of faith in Jesus Christ that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today. We love you, and God bless you. Have a great week.